like to say to my mother, she made the statement, "You may think I'm crazy." Well, we're not going to address that part exactly. The Bible does say that we are peculiar people. We do what we do because of who we are. We have a reason to shout. We have a reason to sing. We're peculiar people. And I appreciate the good blessings of the Lord. I'm glad we still got to shout. Amen. I'm glad we still have an opportunity to shout. And I appreciate the good blessings of the Lord. Shouting never bothers me. Shouting never gets old. As long as God's in it, I'm for it. Amen. Turn with me this morning, if you would, to the book of Jude. The big book of Jude. Good revelation. Back up one book, you'll find Jude. It's a huge book. It's got one chapter. We'll look in the book of Jude this morning. I want to share with you. It's a simple thought that the Lord's given me this morning to share with you. The Word of God is the greatest thing that we have when it comes to learning, when it comes to understanding our Lord, understanding what is our responsibility and our duty as a Christian, but it's also the greatest tool that we have in refuting false doctrine and defeating the devil. And listen, let me say this, we ourselves are no match for the devil, but with the help and the grace of God, amen, God has given us power that we can not live a defeative life, and that we can live a life that's pleasing for God, pleasing to God, and we can defeat temptation just as Christ did whenever he quoted the Word of God to the devil, and the Bible says that the devil fled from him. So the Word of God is a very powerful tool. We understand that, and I'm so glad I have a copy of the precious Word of God.
Amen.
In Jude chapter number 1, if you find chapter number 2, throw your Bible away. Jude chapter 1, verse 17, I want to start reading there. Here the Bible says in verse 17, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able, praise be unto God." You ought to write shout right there. W-H-O-O-P. Whoop! Goes right there. "Now unto him that is able." Aren't you glad he's still able? Aren't you glad that we serve a God that is able? It doesn't matter what you face or what you go through, he is still able. He'll always be able because he's God. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever." And the Bible there says, amen.
Amen.
So it's biblical to say, amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege you've given us this morning to be in your house. I thank you, Lord, for the good blessings we've received of this day. Lord, the beautiful sunshine. Father, just the beautiful day that you've blessed us with and able to come to the house of God. Lord, you've blessed us with health and being this morning. You've given us, Lord, a sound mind and, Lord, allowed us to be here today to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I thank you for the good songs we've heard this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you're our friend. The greatest friend we've ever had is Jesus Christ. And we rejoice in that this morning. Father, we rejoice in the answered prayer that we've seen. And Lord, you've answered and you've worked miracles before our very eyes. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you this morning for the precious word of God, Lord, that will exhort us, that will rebuke us, that will reprove us. And I pray, God, this morning you'd use me, the messenger, to say only that that needs to be said this day. Father, I pray that we can leave this place today saying that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. And I pray you'd have your will and way. Use me, Father, speak through me and help me. Lord, we pray and we'll praise you for what's accomplished. In Jesus' sweet loving name we pray. Amen. And amen. As we look in the Bible in Jude, we find some things that were commanded in the Scriptures. And first of all, let me say in verse 17, the Bible there says, "Remember ye the words." And I want to stress that this morning, how important it is that we remember the Scriptures. It is vital to the Christian that we know the Word of God and that we remember the Word of God. Now, many times we can remember certain parts and pieces of the Scripture. We remember verses, a little piece here and a little piece there. And then when we try to quote that to someone else, we mess the whole thing up and we get it, two verses combined together and just make a mess out of it. And listen, sometimes that happens if we don't focus on the Scripture and we don't try to memorize that and put it to memory. People tell me lots of times, and I understand age has a lot to do with that. Sometimes I forget things myself. I forgot the other day to bring my notes to church, and listen, things like that happen. We forget things, but listen, we need to, as the Bible says, to remember the words of God, to remember the Scripture. Boy, how important that is for us to remember that and to know the Word of God, not only in salvation and leading somebody to the Lord and trying to help them to plant the seed of the gospel. As we talked about in Sunday school this morning, it's good to be able to give the gospel and to know the Word of God and to remember the Scriptures. And whenever it comes to sharing the gospel to someone, it's good to remember those Scriptures so we can do that. But it's also good to remember the Scriptures when it comes to our life and our storms and our circumstances. Remember that the Bible says that God would be with us and never leave us, and He walked through us through everything. And remember, the Bible teaches us very important lessons when it comes to Daniel there and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, and how God was in the furnace with him. And those kinds of things helps us whenever we go through the storms and the troubles of life. And it's good to remember the Scriptures. Amen. And it helps us in the time of need, that God is a very present help in the time of need, and that we can boldly go before the throne of grace. Man, those Scriptures and encourages us and helps us when it comes time to fight those battles. It's good to remember the Scriptures, not only in salvation and circumstances, but it's good to remember the Scriptures whenever we're dealing with those who have been led astray by the apostasy of our day. Boy, we're living in a day where people have turned from what they know to be the truth, and they've turned from that to believe a lie. And they're following after men, and they're following after the ways of the world. And hey, listen, it does us good to remember the Scriptures that we can help them and share with them what thus saith the Word of God. Amen. It is our duty as an obligation as Christians. We have a duty, we have an obligation to remember and know the Word of God. Well, the verse we're learning now is in Psalms 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." In other words, it's a shining a light on my path. And I can take the right steps because I'm a following the Word of God. I remember the Scriptures and I know enough about the Word of God that, listen, it directs my path. It shines a light on me. And if I don't know, I can go to the Word of God and God will show me the right path to take. Man, so many people make mistakes in life because they do not refer to the Word of God. God give us the Scriptures for a reason. Amen. And it's not just in salvation. It doesn't stop there. But the Scriptures are there to encourage us as we fight the battles, and is also there to help us to win others that are led astray. There's many the Bible says that's been led astray. They've erred in their way. And it's a sad day when Christians do not know the Word of God. Hello, y'all listening, y'all with me this morning? Just shake your head like this or wave at me or something. Let me know you agree. Thank you, Brother Mike. Thank you, Ms. Kathy. Amen. Hey, listen, it's a sad day when Christians that say they believe God and they love the Lord but do not know His Word.
That's right.
Boy, it's a sad day. Amen. We need to remember, the Bible says, remember the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. was doing some studying on that that word there of the apostles and the words which were spoken before the apostles. When they put the New Testament scriptures together, they would not accept it from anyone except an apostle or someone closely related to an apostle. These were the words of the apostles. So we know that we have the truth of the Word of God. Amen. The King James Bible is the closest thing to for the English-speaking people as the original. Amen. And it was written for our benefit, for our betterment. Amen, if you would. And the Bible just plainly tells us to remember the Scriptures. The Scripture, hey, listen, that was spoken. Let me read you a verse of Scripture real quickly. Isaiah in chapter number 8. Bear with me just a minute. Isaiah chapter number 8. Let me read you something that's in the Scripture. Amen. And hopefully you can remember this. And if you can't, just jot it down and maybe go back to it later. Isaiah chapter number 8. The Bible says in verse number 21. Or verse number 20. Isaiah chapter 8 verse number 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. Here the Bible says there's many that's going to speak and they're going to talk to you and say things to you, but if it's not according to the Word of God, then there's no light in them. They're not of God, and therefore you should not listen to what they have to say. On the flip side of that thing, if you have the Word of God and you know the Word of God, you have the truth, then share that with him that is of God, and God will bless you, give you power, give you boldness, that you can share with him the truth. Amen. But we're living in a day where we need truth. Somebody say amen right there. We need truth. Hey, listen, the Scriptures, remember the words, remember the Scripture, and study. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, amen, rightly dividing the word of truth, not ashamed of the gospel, amen. And we know the truth and we can rightly divide it if we study to show ourselves approved. Amen. Now listen. We study to show ourselves approved, not to man. I don't care if man likes me or not. Amen. I don't care if I'm approved by man or not. The Bible says it's better to obey God than to obey man. And it doesn't matter what man thinks, but it matters what God thinks. Amen. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Amen. So study the Scriptures and God will allow us to learn those things and ready ourselves. Look with me if you would in verse number 20 here. The Bible says in verse number 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now as we remember the Scriptures, the second thing we need to do is ready ourselves. Ready ourselves and listen, whenever we study the Scriptures and listen, we load ourselves up with those Scriptures and we're ready to go out. We need to pray and by faith believe that God's going to help us and God's going to strengthen us. And here it says, building yourselves up or build up yourselves on your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, if I read the Word of God and I memorize the Word of God, then I've got to go out and believe the Word of God and trust God that He's going to do what He said He's going to do. Amen. And our most holy faith and pray and build ourselves up. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. God gives me the strength and I can do this. Amen. When it comes to winning somebody, presenting the gospel, I can do this because God's given me the strength to do so. Amen. I believe that. The Scripture teaches me that. If we say that I can't go out and talk to somebody about the Lord, I can't give them the gospel, I can't talk to them, we're saying that I don't believe the Word of God. Because God says I can do all things through Christ. I can do this. He gives me the strength to do this. He gives me the boldness to do that. Now listen, whenever you go out to try to share the gospel with somebody, you don't go out and kick the door down and try to be bold and brave and listen, you get yourself in a mess if you ain't careful. But you go out and you're in the attitude of prayer. You've been praying. You've read your Scriptures. You've studied the Bible. You've readied yourself and you're going to go out and start your day. And if the path comes across with you and someone else and the door is open that you can talk to them about the Lord, then you're ready. You've built yourself up. You're ready to share with them the truth of the Word of God. Let me say to you this morning, that is every Christian's responsibility, is to be ready at a moment's notice that we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone we come in contact with. God allows us to cross paths with people every single day. And a lot of times we squander away our opportunities because we're not ready.
We've not read the Scriptures. We've not remembered the Word of God. And we haven't readied ourselves. And listen, we haven't been praying. And our faith is weak. And listen, whenever those opportunities come, you better be careful not to squander them away. Boy, that's good preaching right there. Amen. This is for all of us. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to me too. Amen. We've got to be prayed up. We've got to ready ourselves because we have no idea who we're going to run into. We have no idea the opportunity that we're going to have. Man, standing at the gas pumps and someone comes up to you. It looks like the lady did me a few weeks back. And she came up to me, Jehovah's Witness, and began to talk to me about the JWs. What an opportunity. I'm not going to debate her religion with her. I just flat told her, I do not agree with your belief. I do not agree with your religion. Your religion is something that's out of the context of the Scriptures. It's not doesn't line up with the Bible. And I do not agree with that. Therefore, our conversation is over unless you want to know the truth. Amen. I had Scripture. I had read my Bible. And I'm not boasting on myself. I'm the least of the least. Amen. As Paul says, I'm the greatest, the chiefest of sinners. Amen. But listen, I've studied my Bible and I know a few things about the Word of God. And ever that opportunity came, I was able to give her the gospel. Amen. I told her the gospel that all men everywhere, if they'll call upon Jesus Christ, they can be saved. And I said, ma'am, you can be saved too if you'll call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, I had that opportunity, but we have to be ready and ready ourselves and be willing and praying. And listen, praying in the Holy Ghost. God, give me power. God, give me strength that I may be a witness for you today. Amen. Remember the Word of God. Remember the Scriptures and ready ourselves. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Verse number 22, 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. What does that mean in verse 21? Well, not only are we to remember the Scriptures and ready ourselves, but we're to remain faithful. Man, there's been so many in our day that has left the truth. Hey, they've listened to somebody else tell some false tale. And they try to twist the Scriptures to make it sound like it's what it means. And in the context of it, it's plain and simple. That's not what it's talking about. But yet they've leaned that way and they've listened to that mess. And they've been deceived by the devil. And they begin to turn from what they know to be truth. That's called apostasy. Apostates is what we call them. Turning from the truth. Knowing the truth and turning from it. I know a missionary right now that I've preached with several times through the years. And listen, he was pretty dogmatic on some things and I was a little concerned about him to begin with. But he began to listen to somebody on their thoughts of the rapture and the revelation of Jesus Christ. And now he's turned from what he knew to be truth and he's following a lie and doesn't agree that there's a rapture taught in the Bible. My soul, what error he has made. Amen. And if we run into someone like that, we should be able to refute them and share with them the gospel and the truth of the Bible. Amen. We are to remain, listen, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep our focus on what is right and what God said in His Word. Amen. Be careful when listening to those TV evangelists. Amen. Be careful listening to that stuff. There's a few out there, very, very few, that may be preaching it right. I know maybe a couple of guys that has a TV program. I don't watch it because I just don't like TV evangelists. Amen. I just don't do that. I believe in the New Testament local church. Amen. But I understand they're trying to get the gospel out. I don't have a great big problem with that, trying to get it out. But listen, you be careful of those cats you listen to because it doesn't take a whole lot to deceive you and get your focus off what God says. Amen. So not only do we need to remember the Scriptures and ready ourselves, but we need to remain faithful. Keep our focus on what the Bible says. And then let me share with you this verse here, verse number 22. Verse number 22. Wait, before I go to verse 22, let me say this. In verse number 20, the Bible says, but ye, beloved, building yourselves up. I want to go back to that and readying ourselves. When we think about readying ourselves, when it comes to physical matters, when it comes to the physical body, if we don't feed this body, we get weak. Yeah. Say amen right there, Brother Fred. Amen. I like to eat, don't you, brother? Amen. If we don't feed these bodies, we get weak. We have to be careful what we eat sometimes, too, because we can hurt our bodies. Amen. But if we don't feed ourselves, we get physically weak. And whenever we get physically weak, we can't fight off infections. We can't fight off those diseases because we're physically weak and our body's just not able to do that. That's why we have hospitals. Amen? The hospitals there put things in our body to help our body fight off those infections because we've been weak. Listen, the same thing works spiritually. If we are spiritually weak, if we are spiritually weak, when those infectious doctrines come at us, we can't fight that off because we haven't been feeding on the Word of God. Amen. We haven't been feeding correctly. We haven't been eating a good meal, a four-course meal. Amen. We haven't been sitting around the table of God's Word and feeding ourselves spiritually. So whenever those infectious diseases of false doctrine come along, we fall prey to that and we're infected with such things. Man, that's good preaching if I am doing it. Got to ready ourselves. Remember the scripture. Ready ourselves and remain. In verse number 22, let's go there. Verse number 22, the Bible says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. I know a lot of times they use that verse of scripture, and that verse is used many times in soul winning and going out and winning people to the Lord and have compassion to bring people in and save, get them saved. That's not what the Bible is teaching in that verse of scripture. In the context of this verse of Scripture, when it says, and of some have compassion, making a difference, it is not talking about those that are lost. It is talking about those that have turned from what they've known to be truth. They've left the truth and they started following a lie. They've went after the wrong denomination or following the wrong cult, the wrong religion. They've left. They're apostates. They are in apostasy. They have left what they've known to be truth. And the Bible says, of those people have some compassion. Sometimes we get angry and sometimes we just write them off because they turn and they go their way and we'll write them off. According to the context of the Scripture, the Bible says we're to have compassion and we're to make a difference. What does that mean? That means that we're still to be friends with them. Still to try to help them and fellowship and share with them the Word of God. And I'm not telling you got to run with the crowd that's running with the wrong crowd. Amen. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying we don't write them off. We have compassion. I know some men right now. There was a man that I really highly respected. He was probably one of the greatest men of God I've ever heard stand behind a pulpit and preach. I've got CDs after CDs of his messages, his preach. Man, I could sit and listen to that dude preach all day long. He was just one of those guys that had a fiery way about him, amen, and he preached. I just loved to hear him. And I thought the world of him. Man, he had it straight. He preached on men being married once and the deacons being right and the wives being right. I mean, he preached it all just like I believe it. And I followed that man. I loved that man. I had a lot of confidence in that man. But you know what happened? The devil got involved and he went astray. His wife and him had some problems and they divorced and he remarried someone half his age and then he remarried again. He left that one and married somebody else. He's been married about 3 or 4 times now. And he's still standing behind the pulpit. There's a problem there. I don't agree with that. Amen. He's believed now that other crowd that says it's okay. He's beginning to follow that. He's turned from what he's known to be the truth and he's following a lie. God doesn't throw men like that away. No, He does not. But He takes them out of the pulpit because now they're not qualified. They are disqualified. Amen. There are qualifications for being behind the pulpit and He's lost that. He's out of the race. He disqualified there. But he can still be used of God. God can still use him. There was other men that was in his church that were the very same way. There was once a preacher, pastor of the church, and something happened between the relationship with their wife, and they divorced, and then they remarried, and then they see this happened to him, and they say, oh, if he can do it, we can do it. So now we got a whole gang of people that used to be my friends have nothing to do with me anymore because I still stand on the truth. I still stand on what the Word of God says, and I believe that God meant what He said when He said it. Amen. I don't know the circumstances and they say, oh, it's a lot different now if the circumstances, if you know the circumstances. God never said that the circumstances made a difference. God said, this is what it's going to be. There's no fine line there. Amen. It's either this way or not. And so these men have kind of disowned me. There's a couple of them that email me every once in a while and say hello. One of them asked me one day, I said, preacher, said, what do you think about a double married man? And I said, well, I'll just tell you the truth. I don't agree with it. He said, but you know I'm a double married man and I'm preaching. I said, I don't agree with that. He said, so you're telling me you wouldn't come and hear me preach? I said, absolutely not. I said, man, I love you as a friend, and I think that we can still be friends. It don't stop the friendship, but according to the Scriptures, brother, you're wrong. Amen? And have compassion on them, making a difference, and I tried my best to help him and shared the Scriptures with him. And I even had to write a letter here a while back with another preacher that had the same issue, and I wouldn't let him come and preach. And they said, man, why are you that way? I said, I'll tell you why I'm that way. This is what the Bible says. This is the Word of God. And I had to write the letter, send it to another director of that ministry, and had to send it to him. Why would not let that man preach in my pulpit? And he's not going to because he's not qualified. Amen. If I let him come, I got to let the rest of them come. And they ain't coming.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. But I still have compassion. I want to help them. I want to see them get right with God. Amen. I want to see them. Listen, God can still use them to teach a Sunday school class or to run a bus route. Amen. God can still use those men. They know some of the things of the Bible. They know the Word of God. They can be great soul winners. They can go out and preach the gospel, teach the gospel to others. Amen. And they can bring them into the church. God can still use people like it. It behooves me sometimes that men want to be in the limelight and be in the forefront of everything. Whenever they disqualify themselves, they just think they can keep on going without the power of God. When that takes place, they lose their power. It's no power because they're disobedient. I don't know why I got off on all that, but I did. And so you know now, and so we'll move right along. There's things that people, listen, there's things that people, they begin to follow the wrong crowd. They'll believe a lie instead of the truth. They know the truth. They know the Word. They know the truth, but they'll turn from that and follow after somebody else that says something that agrees with what they want to do. It's called apostasy. And the Bible says that we're to know the Scripture. We're to ready ourselves to deal with such things, to remain faithful to the Lord, keeping our focus on Him, and try to restore those that have turned from what they've known to be the truth. The hardest ministry we have in our day is not to win the lost. The hardest ministry is to restore someone that has left what they've known to be truth. Hardest ministry we have. Restore those that have been hurt, drawn away by the false doctrines of the apostates. We had one that came here to the church, visited a few times, him and his wife. Every time he came, he'd always question me about certain things I said. Questioned me, and he said, well, I have a theory. I always liked to give me his theory of what I preached on. I'd done marked him. I knew that I was facing trouble already. I had another evangelist come and preached, and he questioned him a couple of times during the services about what he was preaching. And that evangelist came to me and talked to me and said, brother, he said, you know you've got a problem. I said, yeah, I know that. I said, I'm just praying that God give me the courage and give me the boldness to deal with it as I need to and have compassion, make a difference. I can win him or I can lose him. Amen? I want to try to help him learn the truth. I want to teach him the truth. So that evangelist had an opportunity to talk to him. He went to him again and he told him, he said, look, he said, I'll tell you what you need to do. He said, you just need to get in this church and sit down, you and your wife, and just listen to the preaching of the Word of God. Let God prick your heart and deal with you about these questions you have and learn some things from the Scripture and sit under a man of God. Very good information and advice, amen. Very good. He should have done that. But yet he didn't do that. He decided, well, I'm wrong and the evangelist is wrong and everybody else is wrong. So he goes out and starts his own work. There's a problem with that. Amen? There's a problem with that. That's why we have so many different denominations and different cults and different religions, because they do not want to believe the truth, or they turn from what they've known to be true. They've turned from that to go out and start something else to please their agenda, to make it look good on them. Why are you teaching us or telling us all that? Because the Bible tells us we're to be ready for such things. Whenever we go out to witness to somebody, talk to them and give them the gospel, we need to be ready. We need to be ready because they may know the truth and turn from it. I met a man one day in the hospital and said, hey, he said, hey, how you doing, brother? I said, I'm doing fine. I know this guy for years. And he said, how you doing, brother? I said, I'm doing fine. I said, how you doing? He said, well, I'm doing pretty good for a man that left the Baptist and went to the, I forgot what other denomination he said. I forget now what he called it, but anyway, some cult that he went off to. And I looked at him kind of funny. I said, you did what? He left what he known to be truth and went to follow some other religion because he didn't like what the Bible said. Yeah. We find a lot of that in our day. They don't want to accept the truth. Listen, the Bible is given to us for rebuke, Amen. To rebuke us when we do wrong, to reprove us, and to exhort us.
You having a good time this morning? Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Some have compassion, making a difference. There's a crowd out there we need to have compassion on. We don't have to run with them. Amen. We don't run with them. We got to have compassion on them. Try to make a difference. Hey, listen, you know that that's wrong. You know what the Bible says. You know what God said about that. Make a difference. Then the Bible says, verse 23, and others save with fear. These are the lost. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Rescue the perishing. Not only are we to remember the Scripture and ready ourselves and remain faithful and restore those which have turned from the truth, but we're to rescue the perish. Those that are dying and headed to hell. Save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. And I want to say in doing that, we've got to keep our convictions. We've got to keep our convictions when it comes to rescuing the perishing, reaching the lost. Some people have the mentality that it's okay to go into the bars and the worldly places. Let's just put it that way. We can go into those worldly places. I'm going there because I want to witness to those that are there. Oh, no, friend. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. Listen, we're to save others, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And keep our convictions when it comes to trying to win somebody and talk to them about the Lord. Stay away from those worldly places. Don't go down there where they're at to try to witness or talk to them. Amen? You don't do that. A drowning man that's drowning, if you're not prepared to go save him, he'll drown you. If we're not prepared to deal with people in their lost condition, it'll discourage us and pull us down. We've got to keep our convictions. I don't believe that we're to go there. I don't believe we're to act like the world and dress like the world to win the world. There's a group out there called the Bikers for Christ or something like that. And listen, they may be some, I know some good men that ride motorcycles, and I'm not against riding motorcycles. Amen, Brother Fred. I'm not against riding motorcycles, and I like Harleys too. Amen. Rev them up. I like it. There's a group that think that they dress like them and look like them, they can win them. That's not what the Bible teaches us. Amen. Pulling them out of the fire. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I know several of them that have long hair and they've got straggly. I saw a guy yesterday had it look like ZZ Top, this big old long beard. And listen, that crowd is trying to look like them and act like them so they can win them. But they have no difference about them than what the biker group has. The only thing is they wear a jacket that says Christ is the Lord or something like that. Jesus saves on their jacket. Well, if he saves, he changes. Amen. There's a change that takes place. You can't win them by going to where they are and doing what they do. We can't win them that way. Amen. That's good preaching too. Others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Know the Word of God. Remember the Scriptures. Ready ourselves and be faithful to the Word of God and faithful to the house of God. Restore them that's turned from the truth and rescue the perishing. All of that is done within the obligation of a Christian. Then let me give you this. Two more things I'm done. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Let me just read that again. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, watch this now, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. We worry so many times about our failure. We get so down and distraught because of our failures. Well, I had an opportunity and I failed at my opportunity. I didn't quote the Scripture writer. We find all kinds of excuses not to do so.
And there's times whenever we're going to try to witness to someone, try to talk to them and give them the Word of God, and we're going to make mistakes. God never said that we're perfect, and none of us are. Christ is the only one that was ever perfect. But listen here, he says there's one who is able to keep you from falling, keep you from falling from what you know to be truth. He's able to keep you from falling and then to present you faultless. What in the world does that mean? He's going to present me before the Lord, before God. Christ will present me as one of His before God. Faultless. Faultless, and then he says, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with what? Exceeding joy. It's going to give Christ, it's going to give Christ joy to present me, a lost sinner, saved by the grace of God. Christ is going to have joy in presenting me to the Father as being part of the bride. It's going to give Christ joy to present me before God the Father as being one of the bride that makes up the bride of Christ. This is one of mine. Christ is going to have, the Bible says, not just joy, but exceeding joy. Because we've remembered the Scriptures. We readied ourselves. We prepared ourselves for what we was facing in the everyday life. We remained faithful to the Lord. We restored those that we could restore. And we rescued those that we could rescue. And now we're going to rest in the fact that God says that He was going to have joy before Him. As we stand there, the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. God's able to keep you, and God's able to present you. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. That last amen there in the book of Jude means that when it's all said and done, we're going to rejoice. Not only will Christ be glad and be exceedingly joyful to present us to God the Father, but we're going to be rejoicing because we've made it. Hallelujah. And it's all over with. Praise be unto God. We're going to worship and praise Him forever and forever and forever. It'll be a time of rejoicing. But until then, my friends, we've got to do some work. We've got to remember the Word of God. Ready ourselves. Restore those that we can restore. Rescue those that we can rescue. Amen. That's work. That's work that's got to be done. It's got to be done. It's commanded to be done. And we've got to do that. And rest assured that God will, the Lord will prevent us from falling and present us with joy. Amen. Ain't that good stuff? It's going to prevent me from falling and present me before God the Father with joy. I'm going to be joyful too. Hallelujah. We'll be rejoicing on that day.
Amen.
Man, what a message. I don't know if that's done much for you, but it sure has blessed me this morning. I know there's a lot of work to be done. It's not easy. God never said it would be. But there's a better day coming. My Lord can look down with exceeding joy and present me faultless before the Father. This is one of mine. He's forgiven. All is forgotten. What a day that's going to be. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the privilege You give me this morning to share the precious Word of God. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to understand the importance of this Scripture. Lord, that we do remember the Word of God. Lord, most of us can't remember, no doubt, all 66 books of the Bible. Lord, although I know there's some men that can do that, they can quote word perfect, chapter after chapter, book after book. Lord, You told us to remember the Scriptures and be able to rescue the perishing. Restore those that's turned from what they know to be truth. Restore those that's been hurt. Maybe in church along the way they've gotten hurt. I pray, God, You'd help us here at Heritage Baptist Church. Lord, that we can rescue the perishing. That we can see souls saved for Thy glory, for Thy honor. Help us, Lord, in the restoration business to win those back to the church and back to You, Father, that's left and went astray.
God, I pray that you'd help us to rest in your promises. Lord, that you one day would present us faultless before the Lord and before God of heaven. We'll be standing there presented faultless. And Lord, that you'll have exceeding joy in presenting us to the Father. Lord, we rejoice in that. And I pray, God, you'd help us as we, Lord, go about our everyday. Look for those opportunities. And Lord, try to see souls saved and reach with the gospel. Help us, Lord, to be about our Father's business. Father, we thank you and Father, we praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' loving name we pray. Amen and amen. I appreciate your attention this morning. I'm not going to give an invitation. I want you to take that word of God home with you. Chew on that today.